The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 20th, 1983 in New Orleans, Louisiana. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 19.
Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa
Sa Devaki Sarva Jagan Nivasa
Nivasa Bhutani Tadangareje
Nivasa Bhutani Tadangareje
Bhojendra Gehingi Sikeva Rudha
Bhojendra Gehingi Sikeva Rudha
Saraswati Gyana Kaleyata Sati
Saraswati Jnana Kaleyata Sati
Sadeva Ki Sarva Jagan Nivasa
Sadeva Ki Sarva Jagan Nivasa
Nivasa Bhutani Taranga Reje
Nivasa Bhutani Taranga Reje
Bhojendra Gehegni Sikheva Ruddha
Bhojendra Gehegni
Saraswati Jnana Kaleyata Sati
Saraswati Jnana Kaleyata Sati
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Bodhichand Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of society. Translation. Devaki then kept within herself
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the
cause of all causes,
the
foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest
in the house of Kamsa,
she was like the flames of a fire, covered by the walls of a pot. Or like a person who has knowledge,
but
cannot distribute it to the world, for the benefit of human society.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
In this verse, the word jnana kala is most significant. Knowledge is meant for distribution. Although there is already much scientific knowledge, whenever scientists or philosophers awaken to a particular type of knowledge, they try to distribute it throughout the world. For otherwise, the knowledge gradually dries up and no one benefits from it. India has the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, for some reason or other, this sublime knowledge of the science of God was not distributed throughout the world, although it is meant for all of human society. Therefore, Krishna himself appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ordered all Indians to take up the cause of distributing the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world. Jare dekho tare ko ho Krishna upadesh Amar ajnyai guru hoya taro e desh. Quote, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Unquote. From Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 7th chapter, verse 128. Although India has the sublime knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Indians have not done their proper duty of distributing it. Now, therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement has been set up to distribute this knowledge as it is, without distortion. Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with mundane knowledge. But in the Krishna consciousness movement, without mundane compromises, now is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are deriving the benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the proper distribution of knowledge has begun, by which not only will the whole world benefit, but India's glory will be magnified in human society. Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness within his house, Bhojendra Gehe, with the result that Kamsa, with all his opulences, was later vanquished. Similarly, the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been choked by unscrupulous Indian leaders, with the result that Indians' culture and the knowledge of the Supreme were being lost. Now, however, because Krishna consciousness is spreading, the proper use of Bhagavad Gita is being attempted. Thus ends the translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Vaicharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Verse 19, in the matter of the prayers by the demigods. Here in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains why Indian culture has fallen down from its... It used to be the richest culture in the world. Actually, Christopher Columbus was only looking for a short trade route to India when he stumbled across America. Because India was where all the gold, the spices, the fine cloth, silk, everything that was valuable was coming from India. But then Hawaii, in later day, India has fallen down. The secret here is given that because they choked up the Bhagavad Gita, actually there were some leaders in India, the Brahmanas, they said that if any Indian went across the ocean, they'd lose their Hindu Dharma, whatever you want to call it. They'd lose their religion. And somehow the religion would vanquish simply by crossing over a body of water. And up to the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, people believed that. Ramakrishna's disciple Vivekananda was practically the first Indian to ever leave India. And this type of mythology or type of superstition, they had preached. And as a result, no one would preach abroad and no one would preach to the non-Hindus, to the people who weren't born. So although the Bhagavad Gita is not a sectarian science, it's a universal science of God consciousness, self-realization, a postgraduate course for all religions and cultures, but due to some very bigoted, limited view, this was never spread before to the other countries, to the other parts of the world. The Lord Chaitanya, He came and said, Prativiti ache jato nagarati gram sarvatra prachar vaive morna. That in every town and village throughout the whole world, my message is going to be spread, going to be sung. So, actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started the Sankirtan movement. Now someone might say that, well, Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan movement in India, but then how can we understand why didn't he spread it throughout the whole world, or how can we understand that he's actually Krishna? So many questions could come up. So, just like Krishna, he starts the entire universe simply by setting it off in motion, and like a domino series, everything one after another manifests. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, in Navadvip, he only chanted Hare Krishna, and in India. But that set off the entire movement into motion, and Prabhupada has explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that now by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, this Krishna conscious movement has brought Lord Chaitanya's message all over the entire world, And it's a duty of every disciple, of every follower of the Hare Krishna movement to try to expand it more and more. And that eventually this movement is going to spread over the entire universe, even onto other planets all over the entire universe, from the Hare Krishna movement here. So already there are some evidences that preachers are already working on other planets, although we don't have all the evidence, but our previous acharyas mentioned that their plan was to go to the other planets as soon as they finished their business here. So they may already be there, starting the preaching, and from here also, the preaching is going to expand all over the universe. So, coming back to this verse where Devaki is sitting in the prison of her brother, Kamsa, and she's carrying Krishna in her, so she's become very beautiful, very effulgent. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvipa, in Mayapur, then he was in the inside of Sachi, and she also became so beautiful. And the different demigods also came and offered her prayers. And when he took his appearance, then demigods and demigoddesses from the higher planets, they came in disguise as village men and women just to see Lord Chaitanya, offering him gifts, offering various presentations to Nanda, to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. Actually, the pastimes are parallel. The difference is that in the Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming as a devotee, so he's keeping his identity hidden. Where Krishna is coming directly as Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the other difference is that here Kamsa is trying to kill Krishna, and Krishna was going to kill Kamsa. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, Lord Chaitanya doesn't kill the opponents, but rather he gives them pure love for Godhead, and he, in this way, kills their demoniac nature. He is so powerful that he gives them love for Krishna and makes them, instead of inimical against Krishna, makes them pure devotees. So that is the unique and wonderful nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That therefore he is described as Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. What a Krishna Namo Namah. That actually Lord Chaitanya, he is more merciful even than Krishna. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, actually more merciful than Krishna. Krishna, he killed Kamsa, and Kamsa got moksha, got liberation. Killed so many demons, and most of them got liberation. Some also could achieve Vaikuntha. Liberation most of them got was simply liberation called Saujya Mukti, which is merging into the effulgence of the Brahman, or into the body of Krishna. They don't maintain their individual realization. Only a few like Putana and other one or two, they were able to achieve Vaikuntha. Because of the way that they went, because Putana gave her own breast with poison on it to Krishna, but then Krishna took it, well, since I sucked her breast, she's my mother. Even though he had to kill her because he had poison on her breast. But Krishna, he reciprocated, since I sucked your breast, you can be my mother in the spiritual world. It's a very rare benediction, but most of them, they didn't get that benediction. They were inimical, they simply got, they thought they themselves were God independent. So in the impersonal realization, one thinks that one is the Brahman and one is God. So he gave them that benediction. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, more merciful, because he gave them love for Krishna. He actually gave them pure Krishna consciousness, which is much greater than these other liberations. So now that we have this opportunity of taking part in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should take advantage of it. As long as Lord Chaitanya's movement is here on this planet, you see, we have this opportunity to go back to Krishna and to achieve this highest perfection. We should take advantage of it. Don't leave the opportunity hidden or pass it by. we should take the maximum benefit from it. Actually, even if people take a little practice of chanting, they get such a great benefit. I was reading in one of the articles that recently published about us, some Dallas correspondent, he had read the chant and be happy. So he wrote up his experience in the Dallas newspaper, how he was standing on the street and somebody came up to him and told him that you should turn or burn, that God is holding you up like a fly over the furnace, and if you don't immediately take God in your heart, He's going to throw you in the fire and you're burnt to a crisp. Then some Hare Krishna devotee came up and handed him a chant and be happy. So in comparison, he said, well, let me read this. And then he read it, and then he saw that you could chant Hare Krishna even though you didn't shave up. You could chant Hare Krishna even without being a vegetarian and going through so many rituals. So basically, even in India, the people are very much afraid of giving up their sense gratification. They know that if you become a pure devotee of Krishna, you become so mad after Krishna that you forget about so many material attachments. They know that. So they are thinking that if a person becomes so much in love with Krishna, is so happy that even material things become insignificant. So, it's not that it's, but they're looking at it from the very attached point of view. I don't want to give up my family attachment or my sense gratification attachment or my business attachment or my society attachment or any of these attachments. So therefore, let me not chant Hare Krishna or be part of the Hare Krishna movement except at a very great distance. I might give them a donation or something. This is the Indian point of view. Many people are very afraid of becoming intimately connected. One family, their son became a devotee, they became very upset. They said, listen, you can come to the temple and do everything, but you shouldn't become a full-time out of respect. It's just that they're afraid themselves of losing any form of sense gratification. All these people are bewildered. If they're actually sincere about becoming happy, and if progressively, step by step, they're feeling more and more happy, and if ultimately that happiness means that actually they're mad after Krishna, if that's the highest happiness, then where's the problem? But of course, some people, they're not very intelligent, so they try to avoid due to attachments. That's why it's that Lord Chaitanya's followers would be the intelligent people. That the very intelligent people, they'll join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But at least everyone, if they start to take up the chanting, just like that writer said, so anybody can chant, you don't have to change your lifestyle or anything. I was interviewed also by one radio interviewer here in the West, and I suggested, why don't you try meditating and chanting Hare Krishna? They said, well, I don't want to shave my head or this. And I said, no, you can chant without doing all these things. You can chant anytime, any place. Really? Well, if that's so, then I'm really interested. And people haven't really understood that anybody can chant Hare Krishna. And actually, the people who are living in our temples, they're very advanced. They're yogis. They're people who want to actually achieve perfection in this life. But everyone can begin on the path to perfection by chanting. Basically, the Namahata movement, which has been stated as the folk movement here in the West, is to get everyone in their own houses, in their own villages and towns and cities, to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, he said that there's no reason why in every country, why every country of the world, in every place in the world, that every family can chant Hare Krishna every day. There's no reason why somebody can't chant Hare Krishna in their house. It's simply, it's a question of promoting it and letting people know about this chanting of Hare Krishna. Those who are a little broad-minded, even a little inquisitive, they can try it. And by chanting, if they get even a fraction, just a little bit of chanting, they'll be able to experience the most sublime change in their lives. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So basically now, due to their fear, to their paranoia, to their prejudices, they're trying to keep this Hare Krishna mantra hidden. They're not able to see the beauty of it. Just like Devaki was having such a great beauty, but due to Kamsa keeping her locked up in the prison, no one could see. So somehow or another, we have to break free from this prison, which the media and different paranoid people have placed, whereby the common person is not able to take the advantage and see what is the real beauty of this Hare Krishna mantra. So that is only possible by all of you taking up the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requesting everyone from house to house, from person to person, to try and take up the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. Any question? Yes?
Female devotees in the world,
yes?
Can they attain total complete liberation without being married?
Without being married?
Yes, sir.
There's no such stipulation that liberation is dependent upon getting married, but it has been recommended very strongly that women should be married. But as far as being, what if a girl dies when she's 12 or something? It's not a lien on the soul that you have to be married to go back to Godhead. It's a question of what consciousness you're in when you leave your body. If you are in Krishna consciousness, you'll go back to Godhead. In a general sadhana, practice of devotional service, it's conducive for women to be married and have a Krishna conscious husband. If the husband's not Krishna conscious, then there's a problem. Actually, the husband should be Krishna conscious and the wife should be Krishna conscious. And this way, they give each other association. I can elaborate, but there's a little short of time right now. But it's not contingent on going back to Godhead, per se. That is not contingent on any material thing. It's contingent on chanting Hare Krishna, serving the spiritual master, following his instructions. Hare Krishna. Yes, Bhaktivinoda?
You stated earlier that Hare Krishna India was starting on all the planets. You said that he had no relative heaven. What was the
Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one day he was in the morning walk and looked up and said, there's so many Krishna Bahirmukhas, there's so many materialistic people, Krishna forgetful people on the moon planet. He said that we have to go there and preach to them, bring them back to Krishna consciousness. According to the Vedas, there are inhabitants in all the planets, but they don't all live on the same vibrational level, the same consciousness level, or the same. They all live on different levels. That's why in one planet, they may be on a subtle beings, on another level altogether. On one planet, there may be earthly beings, but on a different complete metabolism and situation. Just like on this planet, you dig in the earth, you find there are worms. You find all kinds of things. You find that plants are not breathing oxygen, they're breathing carbon dioxide. You find so many different things going on, even on this planet. You know, whether it's the water or the earth or the air, everywhere you'll find some form of living entity. So there's a verse saying that living entities are everywhere, including in the fire, including in all the different planets. There are different living entities. Even above the earth in outer space, there are different subtle levels with different type of here we might call it ghosts or something, but there are different type of creatures, not necessarily ghosts, but other subtle beings on all the different levels, subtle or gross, whatever, but there are living entities everywhere. So on the moon planet is actually this considered to be a higher spiritual level or material level rather than the earth planet. And the sun is considered higher, even some other planets are considered lower. But in terms of their basic development of consciousness, this earth planet is considered in the middle. So we eventually went to preach in all those different planets, wherever there are people that could be Krishna conscious. Since Bhaktisiddhanta Sattva expressed about going to the moon planet, there's every chance that already the preaching has begun on other planets. But that we don't have the evidence yet, which planet we went to, if we stayed in this universe, where the preaching. But Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this movement is to spread all over this planet and then all over the universe. Which planet do you want to deliver next? So work on this one first.
One more question. It's still talk about the astronaut going to the moon and down there. That's recently said astronaut.
Have you seen it?
No, I didn't see that.
Were you there?
No.
Well, don't they say seeing is believing?
Right. How can they go on feeling if people do? They went to the moon, you know. How can they keep on feeling when they went to the moon and people are collecting all the money for this and that?
It's profitable. What they do, they don't do. The point is, we just don't believe everything we read in the paper. And they, whether they go, or even if they did go, what was the value of it? What was the benefit? $28 billion or something like that was spent on that program. And what's the benefit?
I was reading that the Bible was fine too, that Srila Prabhupada stated that the moon was 1,000,000 miles further than the sun, which makes it 94,000,000 miles away. And how can they possibly go?
Well, their distances are all looked up. We're constructing a big model in Mayapur, and the distances that they're saying, it's a whole other long discussion, but we're doing a lot of research according to the Bhagavatam. There are a lot of things that they don't publish. Just like we were trying to match up things with the modern scientist's view, but you can't do it because the modern scientists don't know what they're talking about. Just like, and they cheat like anything. Just like there's a society in Texas called All the Phenomena That Modern Science Can't Explain. And there they found that when you send radio waves, that there's a place just opposite from, there's two spots just opposite from each other. And when you send radio waves, nothing ever bounces back. There should be a planet there, but they can't see it. Things like that. And those two places match up exactly to Rahu and Ketu. But then they don't tell anybody that they call it a black hole or something. They don't know, you know, they just make up some name and nobody knows what it is. So there's all kinds of things like that. They don't tell you all the things they find. If they see something, it doesn't make sense with their theory. They just don't even tell anybody. Many Nobel Prizes and different Pulitzer Prize, different whatever, they have to give them back when later on someone finds out that they cheated. So it's very hard to try to match up. We tried to do this by matching up with their ideas, but then we found it so frustrating because as we try to match up one thing and then you say, well, you don't want to bend the truth. And then you find out some more information from some magazine or something stating that they actually found this thing, but then they didn't reveal it for 5 years. And it's very hard to actually... So we're going to present the Vedic cosmology, not caring anything for the what their ideas, and showing the actually how things are going in such a unique way at our Mayapur temple that this is going to revolutionize the whole concept of the astronomy. I was just reading yesterday in newspapers about Galileo. They said he was a debauchee and he stole his disciples' information, and actually so many things were scandals about him, how he caught cheating in certain things, but just they haven't figured out any other explanation for gravity. But actually, there's not such a thing as gravity per se. It's another type of force, but not what they think, just a force of mass. But these things we're going to explain. It's very technical, very scientific. And there are people that are working on this for the big Mayapur temple. Prabhupada wants that we put the whole universe within that temple. Hare Krishna.